This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. بعد. Respected brothers, sisters, friends, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's my first time here at this university. It's an honor and privilege to be invited. I was telling the brother, I've just arrived. I've been doing these lectures for quite a few years now and visited many universities here but around the London area. I don't know if this is in London, but this is the first time as we entered and saw the campus and the building. It seemed like we're in Russia or somewhere, seeing the Kremlin or something like that. It's a very beautiful architecture, inshallah. And as I said, it seems like the streets are very posh here. So, that's his words, he said, some are, some are not. But anyway, I'm good. It's good to be here. It's always good to come to a university the first time. That's why when the invite came, we said, you know, we have to come and accept the invitation. Even the university, Royal Holloway, just sounded very, very posh. It's like some royals are standing here. But that would be all royals, inshallah. The topic that we have, as our brother just advertised, and you all know, it's already been advertised. The mercy of Allah, the mercy of God, for some of our non-Muslim friends. I'll try to translate or not. I'll use a lot of Arabic phrases, words, texts, but I'll try my best to translate them. I will translate them, of course, all of them, but some of the very common ones which are not normally translated, like saying Allah. I will try to translate them as well. As Muslims, one of the basic beliefs that a believer, a Muslim, has or must have, which the brother just alluded to, is an iman bayna al-khawf wa al-raja. Iman and faith is in between fear and hope. This is the basic aqidah, this is the basic attitude a Muslim must have. But iman bayna al-khawf wa al-raja. Iman, belief, is between hope of the mercy of Allah and also the fear of being punished by Allah and God in the next life, and hence avoiding those things which Allah has prohibited and avoiding them, and getting the balance right. If there is imbalance, if there is more hope, or if there's just hope, in a way that a person just does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, excessive hope, and a person just sits on that hope, relies on that hope, then that is imbalance, which is considered to be wrong. And likewise, if somebody has too much fear, that God will punish me, God will punish me, Allah will punish me, this sin, for committing this sin or that sin, and there's imbalance from that aspect, then that is also wrong. And we have to get the balance right. And this is what the whole deen of Islam is based upon. My topic is, of course, the mercy of Allah, but I will have to touch upon a bit of the aspect of also not having too much hope, because then it will sort of try to balance it out slightly. So this is the attitude every believer must have. The first surah, the first chapter of the Quran, we all recited many times. Daily, in our prayers, in our five-time prayers, daily, regularly, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening surah. In the surah, all of you know, Allah says in the surah, the first verse is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises for Allah, all praises for God, the Lord of the worlds. And then, the second and the third attribute that Allah mentions to describe Himself. The first attribute is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. The worlds refers to the human kind and jinn kind that we believe in, and also all the different, you know, the worlds of the animals, the worlds of the humans. So that's the first attribute that Allah uses to describe Himself with. All praises for God, who is the Lord of the worlds. And then, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You can say attribute 2 and attribute number 3, or we can just consider them to be one attribute. And then Allah says, Maliki Yawm al-Din, the owner of the day of judgment and the day of recompense. That's the third attribute. And then after that, the surah goes on to mention how we should ask Allah, and we should ask Allah for keeping us steadfast on Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is the straight path and the right path. So three attributes mentioned, 3 or 4. The middle attribute, second or third, or just the second, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Significantly, in this first surah, the first chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening, Fatiha means the opening chapter of Qur'an, which is probably one of the most important chapters of the whole Qur'an, to the point that some of the early Muslim scholars, the commentators of the Qur'an, they stated that the Qur'an, the Surah Al-Fatiha, is the whole of the Qur'an is a summary of Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the main conclusion, and the rest of it is like, you know, the details of it. So this is the summarized version of whatever's in the Qur'an. In this surah, despite many other places of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, more or less, combining these two aspects. Wherever Allah mentions His mercy, so that someone doesn't have too much hope in the mercy, straight away Allah mentions His punishment and, you know, avoiding sins and hellfire. And whenever Allah mentions about His punishment, whenever God describes being, you know, the punishment in the hereafter, so that someone doesn't lose hope, Allah straight away mentions His rahmah and mercy. This is generally found in the Quran. Like Allah says, غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ, in Surah Hamim. غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. Allah is someone who forgives sins and He accepts repentance. But before you get too carried away with that, straight away, in the same sentence, you just take a breath. غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ. Don't get too relaxed. This is what Allah says. شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ لِلْتَوْبِ. He is excessive in His punishment as well. Likewise, most parts of the Quran. But in Surah Al-Fatiha, this opening surah is a place where Allah does not do that. When we look at the attributes, there is no mention of His attribute of punishing or wrath or anger. This tells us one thing, that by default, the main attribute of Allah is the attribute of mercy. And it's not just from this deduction, or this what we've deduced from this surah. This is actually mentioned in a prophetic statement, hadith, saying of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, where he says that, relating from Allah, he says that, Allah says that, Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. Indeed, my mercy has overcome, has overpowered, is predominant over my anger and wrath. So by default, the main ni'mah of Allah is mercy. That's by default. But that doesn't mean that it's only mercy, there is also the punishment. So anyway, in this Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. After that, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. These are the two, or we can say one attribute, both referring, this is also in the opening phrase that every Muslim uses, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, in the name of Allah. We translate it by using different translations, the most compassionate, the most merciful, you know. But really, in reality, in actual fact, it's actually difficult to translate these words. There are many terms like that in the Arabic language, that sometimes the meanings are so intense and so unique and so deep that any language, translation in any language, English, German, French, whatever, any language, it is difficult to do justice to that word, the word taqwa. We can use like 12 different words to describe the word taqwa, and those 12 things and much more. Likewise the word adab, likewise the word ihsan. But anyway, it's another topic. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, most merciful. There's actually a slight difference between the two. Ar-Rahman, which is from the word Rahma. Rahma means mercy. In the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, both merciful, right? But the difference between the two is Ar-Rahman refers to the extensive nature of God's attribute of mercy. Wus'ah, extensive. In other words, Allah's attribute, His mercy, His attribute of mercy, His mercy extends every human and every being and everything on planet Earth. Not just humans, animals, and even inanimate objects. Allah's rahmah is extensive. This is what Ar-Rahman is referring to. It's very extensive. It touches upon and it comes into contact with every creation of Allah. Whereas Ar-Rahim refers to the intensive nature of Allah's attribute of mercy. Allah's attribute of mercy is very intense. When it reaches a creation, a person, a human being, then it's very intense, very deep, excessive. This is the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And that's why it's actually some of the translators, they've started translating the Quran like that as well. And they say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. One of my teachers who you mentioned, he has a translation of the Quran in English, and this is how he translated it. He said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, most merciful, the extensive nature. And Ar-Rahim, very merciful. Or is it the opposite way around? One is extensive, one is intensive. Ar-Rahman, most merciful. It's extensive. Ar-Rahim, very, very merciful on one person. So it's extensive and it's very merciful. The Rahmah is very intensive as well. Now, the aspect of Allah's mercy in terms of it being very extensive, it applies and comes into contact with everyone. This is how Muslims believe in the rahmah of mercy and the mercy of Allah. That, and its manifestation is in the world, in the dunya, this life. Dunya means this world, akhirah, the next life. The manifestation of Allah's extensive nature of the attribute of mercy is manifested in this world, in dunya. Whereas the intensive aspect of Allah's mercy is manifested in the next life. And this is why some of the early Muslim scholars and the commentators of the Quran, this is a famous statement, they say, Rahman al-Dunya wa Rahim al-Akhirah. Allah is the Rahman in the dunya, He's the Rahman in this world, wa Rahim, and He is Rahim in the next world. Because yes, every individual will receive some portion of the mercy of Allah. Man, human, non-human, you know, whatever creation of Allah. But in this world, the intensive nature of Allah is not manifested because His rahmah is not completed on one human being or one creation in this world. This is the reason why in this world, if there was an intensive nature of Allah's mercy on every single one of us, then we would have no hardships, no difficulties, no problems, no nothing. No illness, no sickness. But this dunya, this world, the way Allah's created, the way God's created it, it's in between two worlds. We have Jannah, paradise, which we believe is full of bliss. There is no sadness, there is no sorrow, there's no difficulty, there's no hardship. Yeah? There's no financial problems, there's no economic problems, there's no studying coming to Royal Holloway University and getting a degree, there's no marriage problems. Yeah? No, none of that. It's just no problem. You can eat as much as you want and not worry about getting sugar or whatever. You know, just eat, keep on eating, whatever's there. No problem, no stomach problems. Here, Allah gives us a ni'mah in this world. We have to be very careful. Let me eat, you know, because it's healthy food, mashallah. Okay? Nice fizzy drinks and crisps. Healthy food. We have to worry. This dunya, it's a combination of hardships. Jannah is just bliss. Paradise is just bliss. No sadness, sorrow. Whereas we have hellfire, wherein there is only sadness, there is only sorrow, there is only difficulty, there is only punishment, there is only pain, there is no good. Whereas dunya, this world, is in between the two. We get the good with the bad. We get difficulties, hardships with goodness. Inna ma'al usri yusra, with ease there's difficulty, hardship. And this is how Allah deals with us in this life. And that's why Allah's attribute of Rahim is not fully manifested in this world. It's going to be manifested in Jannah. And also, this is what the Muslims believe as well, that the attribute of Rahim, because it's going to be in paradise, it will be manifested in paradise, it will be intensive, where a person will not have no hardship, hence it will only be reserved for who? Those who believe in God, who obey His commands, and those who fulfill the obligations and the commands that God has obliged them to carry out in this life. It's not for everybody. Whereas Ar-Rahman, which is the attribute which has the extensive nature, it doesn't matter whether someone rejects God, believes in God, whether someone swears at God, whether someone says, I don't believe in God, God is still having mercy on them. Someone denies Allah, someone denies God, Allah is still having mercy on them in this dunya. Because it's extensive, regardless of whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Whether someone's obedient, whether someone obeys the commands of Allah or someone disobeys the commands of Allah. Someone's a righteous person or a non-righteous person. Someone's pious or non-pious. Someone's oppressive, non-oppressive. Someone who violates everyone's rights or not, God's rights or not, doesn't matter. Allah will still, and this is actually mentioned in many verses of the Quran, this is called istidraj. This is, we just leave you to it. Then suddenly when death comes to you, then all the punishment is in the next life. So Rahman is Allah's attribute and quality and His characteristic, His sifa, that is extensive, applies to everyone and everything and every being, man, human, animal, Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever. But Rahim is the intensive nature of Allah's mercy and Rahmah that is only reserved for the next life and only for those who obey and command Allah. Those who only obey the commands of Allah, those who are obedient and those who believe in Allah. So anyway, this was just a slight explanation of this Rahmah and this Rahman and Rahim, the two words that we always recite. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And as I was saying also, that by default, Allah's attribute, His main attribute, is the attribute of mercy, the attribute of mercy. Allah says in the Quran, in one of the verses, He says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَأَمِنْتُمْ. What does Allah get? What does Allah, what does He earn? What does Allah earn by giving you punishment? If you show gratitude and you believe, what does Allah earn? It's not that Allah likes and He enjoys punishing. His main attribute is an attribute of mercy. And there are numerous texts in the Quran, some amazing texts in the Quran and Hadith that talk about this aspect of Allah's mercy. So His main attribute is the attribute of mercy. But the issue is that this does not mean that if Allah's attribute is the attribute of mercy and He has rahmah and He forgives and He is very compassionate, He is very merciful, this does not mean, and must not mean, this must not mean that people just sit back. This means that we should take benefit. We should take benefit of that mercy of Allah. We must not lose hope, which is one of the greatest of sins. The famous verse, which is known as the verse of hope. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. What does Allah say? Say, O Messenger! Say to my servants, say to my slaves, لا أقول يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم. Those who have wronged themselves, oppressed themselves, wronged their souls, committed sins, violated the commands of God. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. It's actually considered to be one of the greatest sins in Islam to completely lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah will forgive all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is indeed very forgiving, very merciful. But again, in context, we understand these verses. We have to take benefit. We can't just be neglectful. We can't just lay back and say, okay, no problem. It's all about mercy and God will forgive everything and we just sit back. No. This verse is giving us the message, and many other similar texts, is that we take benefit, we carry on turning, we continue to turn to Allah. If sins are being committed, if Allah's commands are being violated, if we are committing wrong actions, wrong deeds are being carried out, continuously keep on monitoring ourselves and turning to Allah, repenting, seeking forgiveness. This is what this is saying. This does not mean that Allah is forgiving and He will forgive all sins and His mercy is very extensive, and hence therefore Allah will forgive all sins and we just don't think about repenting or don't even have remorse in the heart. Then for them, these verses do not apply to those type of people. This is why in another verse Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَبًا أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. Those people who commit obscene acts, sins. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِشَبًا أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Or they oppress themselves. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. But then they remember God. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ. And they seek forgiveness. Allah will forgive them, and towards the end of the verse, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. They, as long as they are not insistent, they don't insist on committing sins, they're not proud of the sins. They feel there's remorse in the heart, and they continuously keep on turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have this. This is what we need to do. The meaning of Allah's mercy is that we need to take benefit of this great attribute of God. This is why we have something called Tawbah, which is repentance in Islam. We have Istighfar. There's actually a slight difference which I've already mentioned. Istighfar, seeking forgiveness. Tawbah means repentance. There's a slight difference between the two. But we have these things. Tawbah. What does Allah say in the Quran? Tubu ila Allah, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Oh, you who believe, repent to Allah, repent to God. Make sincere repentance. This tawbah and this istighfar, repentance and seeking forgiveness from God, from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen, imagine this. He is the one who created us. He created humanity. He created human beings. And creating us, He placed within us the urge to commit sins, and along with it, He also gave us the remedy. He sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, Adam peace be upon him, as his khalifa, his successor in the world, in the dunya. And even before sending him to the earth, in Jannah, in paradise, Allah made him commit a mistake, he will use the word mistake here, so that humanity and human beings, they practice committing sins and mistakes, and then Allah Himself taught him how to seek forgiveness. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says in the Quran that Adam received from his Lord words. Allah is teaching us. I mean, it's so unique that not just in the Quran, but even in the Hadith, there's du'as and supplications. We as human beings, we are not fit enough. We don't even have the words, correct words, to even seek forgiveness. That's why they say, the scholars, that there's three types of forgiveness. Or tawbah. One is, seeking forgiveness from committing sins, repenting and seeking Allah's forgiveness because of the sins that we committed. Number two is seeking Allah's forgiveness and repenting from not being able to do good things. And the third level is seeking forgiveness because of the deficiency in the forgiveness. Repenting because I was not able to repent as is your right, O Allah. So this is quite unique in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he, and there's so many hadith that teaches all the du'as, what are they? The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us, he was divinely guided, he taught us how to make du'a. If it was left to us, we would be disrespectful. We don't even know the words, how to speak to Allah. He taught us, and this is why all these prophetic du'as and supplications are very important. So in the Quran, Allah said, we taught, فَتَلَقَّى Adam. Adam received from his Lord words because of the mistake that was committed. And that mistake was committed by, as you know, waswasa and the misgiving from shaitan and iblis and Satan. But anyway, Allah made him do that, right? And the dua, Allah taught him, he received this from Allah. He received how to seek forgiveness. And that dua is in the Quran. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَمْ لَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا أَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Very strong, powerful supplication, dua, supplication. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. Oh, our Lord, we have ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have oppressed ourselves, wronged ourselves. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. If you don't forgive us, if you don't have mercy on us, then أَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We'll be in loss. So this was something that Allah made Adam, peace be upon him, do in the world, in paradise, in Jannah, before coming into the world. And Allah created this nature in humanity to commit sins. As you know, angels don't commit sins. And not just that they don't commit sins, they don't have a nature to commit sins. They don't have what? A what, brother? Nature to commit sins. I hope you know nobody's going to sleep here. Angels don't even, you know, they don't even feel like committing sins. They don't feel like it. Are humans more righteous or angels more righteous? There's a massive like discussion. Who are more praiseworthy? Who do human beings have a higher status, maqam, level, or the angels? There's a massive discussion. Books have written on topic. The summary, which the majority take as to be correct and the majority opinion, is that the special human beings are above the special elite. The elite of the humans are over the elite of the angels, who are the elite of the humans. The prophets of Allah, all the prophets, and the Sayyiduna, you know, Anbiya, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are all above the elite, Jibra'il, and all these other prophets, right? And the elite of the angels are above the regular, me and you, me definitely don't know you, me and you, humans. So Jibra'il and all these like angels, Gabriel and all these angels, they are above the regular human beings. And the regular human beings, the normal ones, are above in status, according to Allah, over the regular angels. Human beings have a status above the angels. Reason being is because angels, no big deal. Because Allah did not create in them the ability to commit a sin. Allah did not create in them, it's not their nature. If a blind man says, I never commit a sin, I don't watch anything that is haram. Okay, what was there to watch? Someone's got no hands. I've never smacked anyone in my life. You know what I mean? I've not raised my hands against my spouse. Which is haram. Yeah? And it doesn't have no hands. If someone doesn't have a particular organ, what's a big deal? Angels, they don't have the ability to commit sin. And this is why, actually, in the Quran, when Allah was sending Adam, peace be upon him, to the dunya as his Khalifatullah, that's why we say, Al-insanu Khalifatullahi fil-ard. Human being is the successor of Allah, representative of Allah in the earth. When he was sending Adam and the rest of humanity, yes, Adam is the first human being. Anyway, that's another topic. So when Allah was sending Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the earth, the angels, when he created Adam and created Hawa, peace be upon her, What did the angel say? أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. Are you sending, creating and sending into the world, into the earth, a creation who will cause destruction, fasad, in the earth and shed blood? Yes, sure, blood is being shed in the world. Cause destruction and shedding of blood. Why do you need to create another creation like that? We are here. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ. We are here. بِحَمْدِ نُسَبِّحُ. We praise you, we glorify you. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We glorify you. What did Allah say in response? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You don't know. I know what you don't know. Don't ask. I know what you know, what you don't know. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And then Allah made Adam teach. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. He taught him all the, you know, specialities and the names of certain attributes of certain creatures and objects. And then he told them, he didn't teach the angels, he taught the Adam alayhi salam and told him to inform the angels about it. So anyway, the point being here is that when Adam, peace be upon him, was sent, this is the difference between angels and humans. Angels don't have a nature. They don't have the ability to commit sins. Whereas human beings do, and this is what makes humans great. This is the point. This is what makes humans great. Despite having this extreme desire, despite having this extreme lustful nature, greed humans have, lust humans have, jealousy we have, hatred we possess. It's part and parcel of every human. You know, someone says, I don't have at all any hatred. No, that's wrong. It's part of the makeup of the human to have these attributes. But what happens if someone is good, righteous, doesn't hate? They have learned to control that. We will never eradicate a blameworthy character trait. And that's not what Islam even asks us of. To eradicate jealousy? Impossible. Otherwise we were no longer humans. Islam doesn't say eradicate jealousy. Doesn't say eradicate lust. Eradicate anger. Yes, anger, ghadab is a blameworthy character trait. It's sinful. We have to, you know, control it. Not eradicate it, control it. Because there may be somewhere, sometime, maybe in a rare situation, where there is a correct manifestation of that particular character trait. Right? Self-defense. You know, someone's no anger whatsoever, and someone comes and starts abusing your parents, your mother, and you know, your father, is just about to, you know, pull the trigger, kill. Don't kill my dad, he's gonna die. Please don't do that. If one more bullet, my dad's gonna die, you know, he's gonna be screaming. Nothing happens to you because you've got no anger. So this is why there was a need. Likewise, the lustful aspect. If there was no greed, none of you would be studying here. Some of you would be, it's for Allah. But wanting a career, wanting a job, you all want good jobs. There's that aspect of wanting dunya. So some portion remains with every human being. But we have been taught to control. So this is the difference between angels and human beings. Angels, they do not even possess the ability. They don't have this within them. Their nature is not such that they want to commit sins. Whereas human beings, Allah sent human beings. He made Adam, peace be upon him, commit a mistake in the Jannah, in paradise, before coming into the world, and then taught him the dua, the supplication, the way to what? Seek forgiveness. And he sought forgiveness. He asked Allah for forgiveness. He repented. And then this was taught through Adam to the rest of humanity, we're all the children of Adam, right? That we will commit sins, but at the same time, like Adam, peace be upon him, was taught the supplication, we as humans, we have that. Allah has given us this, along with the ability to commit sins, Allah has given us these special weapons or the special methods or, you know, means of remedying the situation, which is called tawbah, which is called istighfar. And before talking about tawbah, I just want to talk about tawbah and istighfar. But this is something, you know, this dua, all the prophets, if you see, many prophets, there are verses in the Quran that talk about, you know, many, many prophets praying to Allah. I just mentioned Adam and Hawa, peace be upon both. They said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Nuh, peace be upon him. What do you say, Noah? Yes? Yeah. His supplication in the Quran, in Surah Hud, verse 47, he also prayed to Allah, used the word mercy in his supplication. Adam and Hawa said, وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. If you don't forgive us, if you don't have mercy on us, we will be in loss. Nuh, peace be upon him, he said, وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Same kind of wording. Oh Allah, oh God, if you don't forgive me, if you don't have mercy on me, I will be from those people who are losers. Yunus, peace be upon him. Another prophet of Allah, in Surah Yunus, وَلَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ. Oh Allah, you know, he was, enemies were about to attack him, and he said, وَلَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ. Give us salvation with your mercy. He mentioned mercy. Musa, Moses, peace be upon him. He said, أَنْتَ وَلِيُّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا. Again, وَرْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْغَافِرِينَ. Oh Allah, oh God, you are our protector, وَلِيُّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive us, وَرْحَمْنَا, and have mercy on us. Sulaiman, peace be upon him, in the Quran, he said, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh Allah, enter me out of your mercy in amongst your righteous servants. The people in the cave, Ashab al-Kahf, Surah al-Kahf is something that most Muslims try to recite on Friday, even though now we are technically moved into Saturday Islamically, because the night Islamically comes before the day. So after sunset, we move into Saturday. But it's a very famous surah, Surah Al-Kahf, the people of Ashab Al-Kahf. Yeah, most of you know the story. The young people, you know, there's nine of them. And the long story, I don't want to start mentioning the story, but they also, when they were in difficulty, hardship, they said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh God, oh Allah, give us from you mercy. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And show us the right path. And our messenger, the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many, many verses and many hadiths. Allah says to him in the Quran, وَقُرْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O messenger, say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ, O Lord, forgive me, وَارْحَمْ, have mercy, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You are the most, you are the best of the merciful people. And not just Allah was Rahman al-Rahim, and not just that, he actually encouraged and taught and commanded and instructed his messenger to seek the mercy of Allah, of God. He actually gave the attribute of mercy to his prophet. And this is why we have Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord, Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He is also a source of mercy. And actually he mentions it in a hadith, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَاتٌ. Indeed, I am a mercy that is gifted to you. بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً مُهْدَاتٌ. I have been sent to you as a gifted mercy. In other words, Allah is the giver of that gift. We are the recipients of that gift. And the gift is the mercy of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah sent him as rahmatul lil alameen, not just rahmatul lil muslimin, not just a, just like Allah is Rabbul alameen, he's the Lord of the whole of mankind, Lord of the world. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, is mercy of for lil alameen, for all the worlds, not just even humans, humans, non-humans, animals, planets, his mercy for Jupiter, Mars, Venus, whatever. Every creation of Allah, just like Allah is, you know, merciful, he is, and he's the Lord of every creation, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mercy towards every creation as well. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many du'as he would make. I don't have time to go through them, but many du'as. In the Quran, in the Sunnah, like in the Quran, we have du'as, supplications like, these are some things we should make a habit of. Wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, and Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, etc., etc. But anyway, moving on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created human beings. He made it part of our nature to commit sins. So, impossible for a human being not to commit a sin. It's part of our inherent nature makeup, right? This is why there's a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, a collection of hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاؤُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every son of Adam. Every son of Adam. It's not just me. Okay? I'm Ibn Adam. But you are also. Every son of Adam. You know, I mentioned this once in a talk that once I think I was in Syria or somewhere, somebody asked me, so what's your name? So I said, my name. Muhammad Ibn Adam. Ibn means son. And Adam, you know, my father's name. So he said to me, looked at him, he said, كُلُّنَا أَبْنَوْا. We're all the sons of Adam. So what's so special about you? I said to him, brother, by the way, أَنَا إِبْنُ أَدَمِينَ. I'm the son of two Adams. Father is Adam, and then of course our father, forefather. So, anyway. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاؤُونَ. Every son of Adam. Which doesn't mean only men, even women, sisters. Every human. Every man, woman, every child of Adam and Hawa, peace be upon them, they are sinners. Every one of them. They are sinners. خطاؤون. And the word خطاؤون in Arabic is actually used as a form of exaggeration. خطا in Arabic means a sin. The one who commits a sin is خاطئ. The plural of that is khati'un. The hadith should have said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ khati'un. Every son of Adam is a sinner, khati'un. خَطَّى is مُبَالَغَة, exaggeration. Extremely sinful. And khata actually is a word which refers to major sins, minor sins, some things which are not even considered to be sins, just like a mistake. And this is why it's the belief of the Muslims that the prophets are not sinners. They're all infallible. According to the mainstream aqidah of the Muslims, is that no human being is infallible except the prophets of Allah. From Adam, peace be upon him, to Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa, Musa, Moses, peace be upon him, to the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, they are ma'soom, they are infallible. They are ma'soom, they are infallible. This is the basic aqidah of the Muslims. But this hadith is saying khata. Khata is like a mistake. Which is not even a sin. It's possible to, you know, like they say, sayyi'atul abra. There's a saying in Arabic, not a hadith, that even some minor mistakes of the prophets is sometimes, you know, taken seriously by Allah. So, this hadith says, every son of Adam, they are sinful. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best amongst them is the one who repents. This is what this mercy is talking about, basically. That don't just, you know, have too much hope, and just, you know, the sinful aspect is to what? Just become complacent. Not even turn to Allah. A person living a life where that person just violates all the commands of Allah, violates all the commands of the fellow human beings, he disobeys Allah, he disobeys God, he disobeys Allah, he doesn't believe in Allah, and he's proud of that fact. There is no remorse in the heart, there is no repentance, there is no thought in the mind for one moment, that's when it becomes very scary. All these verses in the Quran telling us this, this is the message that's been given, that do not. Yes, you will commit sins, but keep on turning to Allah. Everyone will commit sin. That doesn't mean that it's okay, you know, Allah will forgive, so let's commit a sin. No. This is like what? Remedy. What did I say? Remedy. We know that when we get ill, we can go to a doctor. Yeah? We know if we get ill, there is medicine. Does that mean that, okay, there is a medicine, so let me get ill so I can go and get the medicine? Some people might do that, I don't know. But, you know, some people might have, you know, some... Nowadays, you get trying to make money out of lots of different things. So, you know, yes, let me bang my car and have a crash so that I get some insurance. You know, people try to do that. I mean, that's just if you have an accident, then yes, you have a remedy there that you can claim or whatever. But people nowadays, like I was just in the news yesterday, that, you know, it's especially in the London area, it's gone really high where people are making all these fraudulent claims and whiplash and this and that. So people with intentionally they will get injured just to get some money. But anyway, this is what this tawbah is. It's like a medicine. Repentance, forgiveness, the merciful nature of Allah, the attribute of mercy. It's like a remedy. That if you don't intentionally sin, a person should not intentionally sin. A person should continuously in his or her life try their best not to commit a sin. But it's possible that despite trying, despite really wanting not to commit a sin, it's possible that sometimes somebody may just commit a sin. That if you do, then there is help at hand. It's not that if you commit a sin or you violate Allah's command, that's it, you're doomed forever. No. There is always, the help is always there. If you're driving on the M1 motorway, yes, you always have that card and you will call the AA, you know, services or whatever. But that doesn't mean, let me just take my car and puncture it. Okay, not for. Okay, I've broke down on the road. No, the breakdown cover will come. They will come. There is help. You know, at the back of your mind, I'm trying my best to drive carefully. I don't want to have an accident. I don't want to break down. I need to get to the Royal Holloway University. You have my tires. It doesn't mean that if I've got help at hand, that's it. It doesn't matter. So this is exactly how our attitude should be. We try our best to be careful, never to disobey God, to always, you know, obey Allah, always to follow in the footsteps of His Messenger, peace and blessings be upon Him. Follow Allah and follow His Messenger. Obey the commands of Allah. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. But yes, if you fall down sometime, if you make a mistake, if you commit a sin, if something goes wrong, then we always know that there is always help. To lose hope of that help, that is what's haram, that is what is considered to be a major sin, that's what's considered to be sinful, and that's what Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only the ones who reject God, they only lose hope, because they don't believe in God. So if they reject God and they don't believe in God, then yes, they will lose hope if they do something. That's it, they think, that's it, there's nobody left out. But those who believe in Allah, those who believe in God and they don't reject God, then they know for a fact that they will never lose hope because Allah, they know Allah is there. And they will know the mercy of Allah. So this is the message. Now we have tawbah and istighfar, turning to Allah through tawbah, turning to Allah through istighfar, and turning to Allah through repentance and seeking forgiveness. There's actually a slight difference between the two. There is a slight difference between the two. And many of you know about tawbah, but just a reminder, many of the things that I'm talking about, many of you might even know about this, but these are reminders. The Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because reminding always helps the believers. So it's not always when we come to lectures or we, you know, read books or whatever, doesn't always mean that we are always learning something new. It's always reminder, because reminder always helps. We all need reminders, mutual reminders. So, tawbah is repentance. The Quran says, "Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha." Repent to Allah with sincere repentance. Right? But this is very important. This tawbah, like the hadith, the prophetic statement I just said, "Kullu bani Adam khata'un." Every son of Adam, children of Adam, they are all extremely, excessively sinful. But وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of these sinful human beings are the ones who repent. There's another hadith, which is in Sunan of Imam ibn Majah. It's a sound hadith. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents from a sin, كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. is like the one who never committed a sin. Kamalla dhanbala. The one who repents from a sin is like never. To the point that this, you know what this hadith means? This means that when someone repents, it's not like, okay, the person committed a sin and it's written in the book of records, and this is what the scholars have explained in this hadith, that this means that when someone commits a sin, after that they repent, then when they repent, it's like completely rubbed off and washed away and wiped away from the records, from the book of, you know, deeds. It's not like, okay, committed a sin, but then, you know, January 22nd, repented, February 14th, committed a sin, 15th, repented. No, it's not like that. It's just totally washed away. Even the angels are made to forget. We know that every human being, we have two angels. There are different angels, some are protecting the mu'aqibat min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfi yahfazunahu min amrillah. We have kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. In the last juz of the Quran, kiraman katibin. Every human has angels with him or with her writing and recording good and the bad deeds, right? Now, these angels are known as kiraman katibin. By the way, one's name is not Kiraman and the other one's name is not Katibi. Lots of people think like that. It's Kiraman Katibi is one name of one angel, and Kiraman Katibi is a name, you know, they call Kiraman Katibi, basically. One. So, but there's an angel on the right and the angel on the left. The one on the right, you must know this, writes the good deeds, and the one on the left records the bad deeds. I think Imam al-Ghazali or someone, but this is quite common in mention, that from the two, and this is deduced from the Quranic verses and hadiths and places, you know, some other texts, that the one who writes and records the good deeds is actually the Amir, the boss, so to speak. The one on the left can't do anything without asking. The one on the right doesn't have to ask the left. You know, the one who writes and writes good deeds does not have to seek permission, you know, from the one who's recording the bad deeds. You do a good deed, they'll write it down. The one on the left will say, okay, may I write? No, wait, you might repent. May I write? No, you might repent. Third time, may I write? No, you might repent. Don't. And if he doesn't repent, after that, yes, after a while, he'll record it. So even before, if someone repents, then it's not even written. But then, if repentance is not made, tawbah is not made, then it's written. But written, it's like quantified or codified that this is subject to. Subject to. He has committed a sin, but subject to repentance, it will, you know, this is the presumed that he will repent. Right? He will repent sometime in the future. So, this is subhanAllah, so merciful nature of our religion, our deen. You see, basically, anyone who has some sort of remorse, regret, nadama, you know, remorse aspect, you feel bad, you feel guilty, then there is a lot of hope for that person. All these verses of the Quran refers to these kind of people. Yes, those people are really, you know, may Allah save us from being like those who have a complete harsh and hard heart, like ashaddu min al-hijarati, or ashaddu qaswa. The Quran says, you know, more harsh than stone. Not even thinking about a sin, not even thinking whether a sin has been committed, who cares, you know, absolutely just being courageous and proud and arrogant, and not even thinking a sin is committed. And there's no remorse, there's no sad feeling, there is no bad feeling, nothing. That's when it becomes very, very dangerous. So tawbah is repentance, right? Tawbah is repentance, which we must all continuously do. A sin is committed, no problem. Tawbah is there. And even if many times a crime is committed, you repent, forgiven. But there are conditions, we all know. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah wa radi anhu, he mentions this, and many of the scholars have mentioned this, is agreed upon, that there's four conditions for repentance. Number one, everybody knows, yes? Anyone? Condition number one?
Sorry.
Yes, which I've already just mentioned, that you feel bad about it and there's remorse. There's nadam. So you feel remorse. Number two?
Not to do it again.
Yes. Abstain there and then. Yeah, so that's another one as well. So I'll mention
that. That it'll be the number four. You know.
So you stop committing the sin. Which means that you can't continue repenting like someone's committing a sin and whilst committing the sin, repenting doesn't work. Alcohol is prohibited in Islam. Someone's drinking alcohol. Another bottle. No. At that time, you have to abstain, stop, and then the repentance comes. Okay? And number three is to make a firm intention. Absolute firm, resolute. New Year's resolution. This is your new Tawbah resolution. You know, firm resolution. Never, ever to commit the sin in one's life. But that doesn't mean that if you do happen to commit it, that means, you know, the Tawbah was sort of cancelled? No. As long as at that time there was a resolution in the heart, that doesn't mean that you will never commit it. No. You could even think in your mind, yes, I'm making a firm resolution, but there could be a possibility that I might commit it. But as long as you make that firm, you make that firm intention never to commit that sin. And the fourth condition is that if these are sins that are connected to God's right and Allah's right. If it's the right of fellow human beings, then it becomes, there's a fourth extra condition, and this is actually very important, which is that we have to seek forgiveness from that fellow human being or give his due or fulfill his right. If I have, you know, borrowed some money, £10,000, doesn't mean I seek forgiveness and that's it, I don't have to pay the money back. There is no bankruptcy in Islam. We don't have the concept of bankruptcy. Yeah? You just say, my company's gone bankrupt. It's okay, move on. Change your name and start another company. In Akhirah, we'll have to pay the money. In Islam, there is no bankruptcy. Right? This is very important. People don't realize this fact. It's okay. I mean, by law, you might get away with some things. But Islamically, you can't. Every penny that we have taken unjustly of someone else will have to be paid back with our deeds in the next life. Everything. This is why there's a hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, elsewhere, sound hadith, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a man will come on the day of judgment and he will have so many good deeds and you know, all sorts of good deeds he has committed, he has practiced in his life, but فَقَدْ ضَرَبَ هَذَا وَشَتَمَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He swore at someone, he slandered somebody, he consumed somebody's wealth unlawfully, he stole some wealth here. What will happen? He will have to pay this back with his deeds. So all his good deeds, one by one, someone will come, hey, you owe me £10, okay, here, this deed. Someone will say, you owe me this, you borrowed this, you didn't pay me my rent, or you know, whatever. And all his good deeds will be paid, given to these people, because the currency on the day of judgment, in the next life, will be deeds. There's no pounds, there's no dollars. That's not the currency. The currency will be deeds. And once all his deeds will end, then he'll have nothing to give back, pay. So what will happen? Now what? Now it's minus. Those people will give their sins to him. And this person who came with so many good deeds in the next life will end up having not just having no good deeds, but he will be full of bad deeds. So this is the fourth condition, which is backbited, we seek forgiveness. If we have hurt someone, we have to seek the forgiveness. If we slandered somebody, seek forgiveness. If we, you know, disrespected parents, seek forgiveness. One of the greatest responsibilities in Islam is to not disrespect and be rude and offensive towards parents. So, if it's a sin that is connected to a creation of Allah, then we have to seek forgiveness from them as well. So these are the conditions of Tawbah. And then we have something called Istighfar. What do we have? Istighfar. Tawbah is repentance. Istighfar is seeking forgiveness. Is this the same thing, Tawbah and Istighfar, or is there a difference? There is a slight subtle difference between the two. Imam al-Ghazali in his Ihya Ulumuddin, he says that these three conditions or four conditions that are the conditions for what? For a sincere repentance, those conditions don't apply to istighfar. Don't apply to istighfar. He's deduced this from the Quran and from the Hadith. Istighfar is like, for tawbah, you have all these conditions, you need to make sure, you need to first abstain, and then you need to make a firm resolution, and you need to go and pay back the money, make two rak'at if you want. You don't have to, but you know, this is what tawbah is. It's a slightly longer process. Istighfar is something continuously done. It's like morning, afternoon, evening, night, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he says, Wallahi, inni la astaghfirullah fi al-yawmi sab'ina marra. By Allah, I seek the forgiveness of Allah in one day 70 times. 70, in another riwayah, mi'a marra. So this is istighfar, continuously. And that, you know, to say something like astaghfirullah min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi, astaghfirullah, I seek Allah's forgiveness, I seek Allah's forgiveness. We have something called Sayyidul Istighfar. A lot of people know this. There is a special supplication known as the leader, or the, you know, the best forms of seeking forgiveness. It's in the hadith in Bukhari and elsewhere. So to make like this, the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in one hadith, whoever recites that supplication of forgiveness, if you say it at night, if you say it in the morning and you die, if a person passes away, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ, passes on the day before evening comes, then he's a man or a woman of Jannah, of paradise. And a woman قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, anyone says it at night, and he passes away or she passes away at night, before the morning, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْبِحْ, for whom in أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, the person is from the people of Jannah. I don't have time to go through it, but you know, it's called Sayyidul Istighfar. People should make a habit of reciting that in the morning or in the evening. So that's just one or two more points, and then I'm going to end, inshallah. So this is the mercy of Allah. Tawbah and istighfar brings about the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah means we take benefit, we use this amazing attribute of God, and we use it for our benefit, not become neglectful and not become courageous. Right? This is the main message that is being given. But to abstain, like I said, from sins is very important as well, and this is just like a remedy. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim is a very, you know, important, second most authentic collection of prophetic narrations, hadith, where the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, mentions, this is again to just show that look, if there's some sort of remorse in the heart, then inshallah there's a lot of hope. There was this one man, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relating this, so there was this man, he lived a whole life of sins and evils and you know, just a really bad life basically, committed every sin that you can think of. So when he was close to his death, he was very scared, so he said to his family, and this is, I'm not making this up from some storybook, this is in Sahih Muslim, he said to his family, he made a will. I have the hadith, he made a will. And in the will, what did he say in the will? He said to them that if when I die, what I want you to do is, I'm just so scared. Okay? I'm just so scared. So I want you to burn my body, and then all the ashes, throw them, you know, like in the air, scatter them everywhere. They just get blown away in the wind. I'm just so scared to be punished by God. So his family did that. When he went to the next life, Allah asked him, "What happened? Why do you do that?" This is the hadith from Abu Hurairah who relates. So Allah first ordered all his, you know, components to be gathered, and then he was resurrected. And says, Lima fa'alta hada? Why do you do this? He said, Min khashyatika ya Rabb, out of your fear, O my Lord. Allah said to him that you knew, I mean, imagine, this was like a foolish act. Or in its worst case scenario, it's actually disrespectful to God, because it's like thinking that God can't bring you back to existence if your ashes are just scattered away. But he wasn't believing that. He was just, you know, saying to him, he was just overtaken. I'm just so scared. Just burn me. Just, you know, everybody's can't, you know. That's it. I'm just so scared. So he said, did you believe that you could be resurrected? He said, yes, I believe, but I'm just so scared. So Allah said to him, and because of this extreme remorse you had, and you were so fearful and scared, go ahead. He was forgiven. He was given forgiveness, he was pardoned, because of this, what he did. Imagine. A life of no good deeds, full of sins. This is the extreme nature of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there's a hadith, like I said in the beginning, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Rahim is in the Akhirah. There's a hadith with the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he said that, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِئَةَ جُزْ. Allah has divided His mercy into 100 parts. How many parts? 100. فَأَمْسَكَ عِنْدَهُ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ. He has withheld 99 of those parts by Him. وَأَنْزَلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ جُزْءًا. And in the earth, He has only revealed or descended or sent only one of those 100 parts. 99 withheld by Him, only one. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجُزْءُ تَتَرَاحَمُ الْخَلَائِقُ. That one part that Allah sent into the earth, through that one part, this is in Sahih al-Muslim as well, Sahih al-Hadith, from that one part, the whole of humanity and creation, they show mercy to one another. Parents show mercy to children, children show mercy to parents, humanity showing mercy, it's from that one portion of the mercy of Allah in the 100 portions. And even animals, حتى ترفع الدابة حافرها ولديها. Even an animal just, you know, lifting its wing to protect its offspring is through that one portion of the mercy of Allah. Which means that 99 portions will be utilized in the next life when we all will need that mercy. It will be intensive. Extensive in this world, intensive in the next world. So, this is very important. Final message. I don't know how long we have been finishing time. Okay. The final point is that how do you... Tawbah is there, istighfar is there. Seeking forgiveness, people's lives, you know, can change. I mean, there's so many examples of people's life changing, etc., etc., but I don't want to talk about all of that. Lastly, repentance. So we seek Allah's mercy. We make istighfar, forgiveness. That's the means. But number three, there's a third method, which is what? There's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. Very important, famous collection of prophetic statements. One of the whole Sunan books. Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud. And this is a famous hadith. This hadith is known as Hadith al-Musalsal bil-Awaliyya. Musalsal bil-Awaliyya, you know what happens is that we have this legacy or this system in place where each student, he or she, begins studying the science of prophetic narrations, the teacher will teach one hadith as being the first hadith that is being taught. Yes, so like myself and most even the students who are studying, any teacher, we started studying the six books of hadith or whatever, the first hadith every teacher would teach would be this. That's why this hadith is known as Hadithul Musalsal Bilawaliyya. Hadith which has the continuation of being the first. Being the first before every single hadith. Okay? It's in Sunan Abi Dawud, but it's like, we heard this from our teacher as being the first hadith. When that teacher was a student and heard the hadith and was learning Islamic sciences, it was the first hadith that he studied by his teacher. It goes all the way back, some say all the way back to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, but the more correct opinion is that it stops just before to a tabi'i, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who relates from a sahabi, Kamani Abdullah ibn Umar, who relates from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine 40 generations, 42 generations, continuation, every single student learned this hadith of being the first hadith. Imagine. That hadith, which is, what is it? That hadith is Ar-Rahimun, يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى يرحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those people who are merciful, الرحمون, those human beings who are merciful, they are those human beings who are merciful. يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى. God Most High, Allah Most High, has mercy on them. يرحموا من في الأرض. Therefore, show mercy show mercy to the people on the earth, to human beings. يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah, the one in the heavens, not the Jews speaking, but the ones in the heavens, Allah will show mercy to you. So this is a means. Tawbah is one means, istighfar. But in order to attain and acquire the mercy of God, a strong means is to show mercy to others. If you want the mercy of Allah, you have to show mercy to others. Others, you know, includes humans as well as animals. And there's numerous texts talking about even showing mercy to animals. In a verse of the Quran, Allah says, "Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsinin." What does He say? "Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsinin." Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close to muhsinin. What's muhsinin? Anyone? That's one word you can use 10 translations and it's still, you know. Ihsan, we need, you know, that's a topic on its own. I've given a few, delivered a few talks on this, like 2 hours once, just the topic of Ihsan. There's approximately 63 verses in the Quran that has been derived from the root word Ihsan. Ahsan yuhsin Ihsan, excellence, means perfection, doing something good, doing something in the best of ways. Every part of our life, we have to have Ihsan. Ihsan in worship of Allah. And da'abud Allah ka'annaka tarah. Ihsan with parents, wabil walidayni ihsan, social interaction, ihsan. Even in marital relations, ihsan. Even divorce, Allah actually used the word ihsan in divorce, that even if you want to have divorce, if a marriage doesn't work, then he said, haqqan ala al-muhsineen, usarrihuhunna bi ihsan. Even go through divorce in ihsan. Even business transactions, there's word. There's a word, awful qayd, you know, the word ihsan has been used. ذَلِكَ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ وَأَحْسَنُ. Awful qayd. Measurement, you know, business, transactions, buying, selling. To the point that even treating animals, there's actually a hadith, a famous hadith, in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْإِحْسَانَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Indeed, Allah has made ihsan obligatory upon everything. To the point that even when you slaughter an animal, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقَتْلَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Even when you have to slaughter an animal, because animal consumption is halal, and that's another topic, but it's not just like in any way, shape or form. There are laws, there are restrictions, you know, there are laws and restrictions in place. And many of those laws are, well, actually in this day and age, there are certain laws that make the animal halal, but there are certain extra etiquettes which don't make the animal haram if not acted upon, but it's disliked. But those are more or less non-implemented. Like for example, one basic law is one animal should not be slaughtered in the presence of the other. Can that happen today when you're slaughtering 17,000 chicken in an hour? You know, just, it's impossible. The whole consumption, the times we're living in basically. So all these basic etiquettes and laws of even animal slaughtering. So when you slaughter, slaughter, and then he said, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِحَتَهُ. When you slaughter an animal, make sure you sharpen your knife. Make sure you give peace and tranquility to the animal. Don't have a blunt knife. You know, you should be swift. The animal should not even realize that you're going to slaughter it. There was one companion, if he had the chicken or the animal, and before he was slaughtering, he took the knife, he was sharpening in front of the knife. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "What are you doing? Why don't you sharpen it at home or sharpen it, in the non-presence of, in the absence of this animal? Do you want to give it to death? It's already died before it's dying." Yeah, this is what he said. Motatain. And literally, seriously, you see, I've been to Avatar's slaughterhouse. You see some of these, chickens, where they know that they're next. They're terrified. Seriously, they're absolutely terrified. You see them. I don't know if you can see that. I can see that on the face of the chicken. You can feel it. Imagine, we're all in a line. Our head's going to be chopped off. I am next. It's of course these animals have soul and life and feelings as well. So anyway, this is what ihsan is. So basically, what is the verse? What did Allah say in the Quran? Inna rahmatullahi qareebun min al-muhsineen. The mercy of Allah is close to who? Close to who? people of Ihsan. So if we want mercy of Allah, in conclusion, we have to do four things. Number one, well, four things we do and one thing we don't do. This is the conclusion. Number one, continuously, tawbah with all the conditions, repentance. Number two, istighfar. Number three,
ihsan.
That's fourth I mentioned. Number three,
not commit.
Show mercy to others. Show mercy to others. And number four, ihsan. Ihsan is like in its comprehensive way to apply it in one's life. To do everything properly, correctly, in an excellent way. These are four things. If these four things we have in our lives, then we are making benefit of this amazing, extensive nature of Allah's mercy. And one thing we must not do is what? Be proud and arrogant in committing sins and just, you know, not care whatsoever. Inshallah. I'm going to end with this. Sorry for, I don't know if I went over time or not. I don't know how long I spoke with. Inshallah. Your apprentice is talking about sort of practice. Okay, inshallah, we have our branches to speak and JazakAllah khair for inviting me, calling me, inshallah. Hopefully, we'll come back to your palace sometime soon in the next.